From KBIA News in Columbia, this is Intersection, Conversations in Art Community. I'm Sarah Shariari. Did you get out to True False to see any documentary films in Columbia this last weekend? I did, and I was lucky enough to interview a couple of the directors about their films. This week, we'll hear from Manu Jarosa, the director of Between Sisters. Between Sisters is, at its heart, a movie about how we know, don't know, protect, and conflict with the people closest to us. It's also a story about the director's own family. So Manu, I saw your movie yesterday, Between Sisters, and it's the story of two sisters who live in what looks like a small city in Italy. There's quite a bit of age difference between them. One of them is in her 60s and one of them is close to 90. And they're just incredibly close and they have this extraordinary relationship. And they are, in fact, your mother and your aunt. How did you decide to make this movie?
Well, I had been thinking for a long time, I remember, to film them and their special relationship. Because for me, I spent most of my life with my aunt and my mother, and I always witnessed these relationships so full of love and several fighting, constant fightings. But then, you know, has it happened often that the things you have closer are the things that the stories, let's say, the things that you postpone more in time, you know, because maybe you think something else is more urgent or important. And then in 2011, I realized that my aunt was really aging. I mean, even if she was already quite old, but she, to me, she always appeared very lively. And thanks to her bizarreness, I didn't really realize that she was an old woman, no? But in that moment, I saw that she started to lose her memory, and therefore she started to lose her independence. At the same time, I remember my mother, Ornella, mentioning for the first time the word caretaker. And that was like, you know, like an alarm for me, no? It was like, oh, if I want to film something about them, I must begin now. I cannot wait any longer.
We see our families in such close proximity all the time. Did looking through the lens at them change the way you thought about them or understood their relationship?
Absolutely. I think that I can say this, I can answer to this question now after this film, because probably before I had a totally different idea, no? I think that being part of a family and a very close environment make you think about the other members of the family in quite a static way. I mean, I think that it's very difficult to understand the real complexity of the people and the real changes, no? You know, I make a stupid example, okay? But for instance, maybe one time when you were younger, you lost something, and then for your parents, you will be always the one that keeps on losing the things,
right?
No? Even if it happens only once. No, I think you can. It's the perfect example, mm-hmm. No? And then I remember that in the beginning, when I started to film, then when I started to watch the footage, I really had a very bad feeling. I was totally disturbed and bothered by my attitude while I was shooting, because I didn't recognize myself. Like, maybe from the footage, I heard my voice and some sentence I was saying or something I was doing, and I couldn't recognize me. To me, that person that was there, it wasn't me. It was like a stupid one, unable to understand what my mother and my aunt were really trying to communicate to me. And then slowly I started I forced myself to change my attitude and to try to really pay attention to what was lying beneath the surface of their words or their acts. And then I think that, answering to your question, that yes, the camera, being there with the camera, changed my perspective and allowed me to know them again from scratch.
It's obvious that your family is incredibly close.
Did you have any trepidation or reservations about bringing a camera into this close family?
I would say that no, I didn't have doubts. Because in the beginning I said, okay, let's start, let's film and let's see what's going on. But I must say that in the beginning I didn't expect that what I was filming would have become a film in the end. Mm-hmm. For me it was maybe an attempt to catch the moment, to try to film something and maybe have just a memory about my family for the future, to don't forget them, maybe especially about my aunt, maybe when she won't be here anymore. And then I hadn't any doubt about that. But of course, during the shooting, during the time I was filming, sometimes I had a quite hard conflict within myself about what was right to show and what was not. But at the same time, as a filmmaker, I had to accept that if I show something about somebody I don't know, that maybe is very intimate and can be also dangerous for this person or painful, I thought that I must act the same way toward myself and toward my family. And I think that making this project was also for me an attempt to test me and put my feeling at stake.
Because so often, I think maybe in filmmaking or in journalism, you're sort of putting other people at stake. So this was bringing yourself in as a really emotional stakeholder.
Absolutely. Because I remember, previously I've done other two documentaries, two middle-length documentaries. And both of them, I filmed them in Africa, in different countries. But I remember that the people I met there and the story I've been gifted to hear from these people. No, I remember that I met people that really trusted me completely and they put themselves in danger to reveal me their story and what had happened to them. And I remember the sensation, I remember exactly the feeling I had, that for me, I was compelled by their story. They were really strong and dramatic stories. But at the same time, I remember that it wasn't my story. I felt sorry or overwhelmed by what they were telling to me, but it wasn't going with me, their story. And then when I started to film my mother and my aunt, I remembered it was like a big challenge for me. I said, okay, now I want to be really, I want to put my feeling at stake and to try to deal with them.
And I was wondering when I was watching the movie how it was, because at times Terry seems to completely understand that you're making a movie, and at times she doesn't. And did you wonder, I mean, is it okay to show this? Does she really understand what's happening here? Did you ask yourself that? I'm sure you did.
Yes, I have done, yeah. Yeah, of course, because I think that the film is really on a thin line between what is right to show and between exploiting a person for your own purposes, no? But I remember that, I think the film succeeds in being very delicate and not making any pornography about the intimate moment of these two women, no? Because I think that my aunt, Terry, you are right, sometimes she was perfectly aware that I was filming, and some other times she's asking what's happening there. Mm-hmm. No? And this is due, I guess, to the fact that she was starting to lose her memory. And for me, this was a big part of the film, a big part of the story, even if it's not so exploited, no, as a theme in the film. I think you see it in mm-hmm. quite a delicate way, but it was necessary to show that my aunt was finally aging and starting to lose her memory in order to make to the audience understand why Ornella, my mother, suddenly started to think that she couldn't wait any longer to know the truth about an important missing part of her identity.
For those of you just tuning in, this is Intersection on KBIA, and we're talking with Manu Gerosa. Manu directed the film Between Sisters, which played to packed houses at True False.
I feel like as an outsider looking at Terry and Ornella, you see this huge age difference between them. And then you start to realize through the film that there's something in the family that's a secret. And you start to think, what could it be? Two sisters with such a big age difference between them. Did you know when you started filming that there was this secret, or did it start to become something you were aware of as you were filming?
Well, my mother is 21 years younger than my aunt. So, of course, it's not only a big difference in their age, but it's also a difference that makes you think something specific. I must say that in the beginning, I didn't know anything about this secret. I never heard nor my mother nor my aunt mentioning anything about it. As soon as I started filming and I started to like to try to question them, to ask why they were doing something or why they were acting or telling something, the story came out quite naturally, because I guess that this secret had always been there among them. But the problem is that we were blind to it, because it was, after so many decades being hidden, this story had become a taboo, mm-hmm. and none of us was able to face this taboo. Of course, we were victim, but at the same time, we were guardians of this taboo. We were trying to protect it, as a taboo works, actually, no? And then I think that when I started to move the surface of the things, immediately a big hole opened up and the things started to come out. And of course, in the beginning, when after the first time my mother revealed me that she had some doubt about who her real father had been, from that moment until the day of the revelation, I was pretty sure, I was convinced that my aunt in reality was my mother's mother.
That's what I also thought, yeah.
And therefore, like, she was my grandmother, no? Mm-hmm. Because since I have memory, she had always acted like that, like a mother toward her daughter, mm-hmm. no? Like toward my mother, and like a grandmother toward me. And so, of course, many things were making more sense, and I was combining the different pieces in my memory, and I was thinking, oh, of course, it must be that. But then the truth is not that. It's a different one, no? They are not mother and daughter. They are half-sister. Mm-hmm. They have a different father. And in the scene of the revelation, the day of the revelation, in that scene, in the film, you see that scene lasts more or less 7 minutes, but the footage I filmed that day was more or less three hours
wow.
and a half, because it was a very long moment. And then I think from that scene, I understood why I have been convinced about something that wasn't the truth. Because I guess that when this fact happened, when this event happened, when my mother was born, and also how it has happened, justify the behavior of the following years and decades of my aunt. No, I guess that in the 40s, after the Second World War, in Italy, the society was extremely conservative. And being born outside of the marriage was really a big scandal. Mm-hmm. So everybody was trying to hide it. If you sum this to the fact that my aunt witnessed her father abandoning the family, another man stepping into the family, no, right after the war, he was a soldier coming from the south to fight the Nazis. Mm-hmm. And then she witnessed this second man stepping into the family, leaving her mother pregnant, and then leaving and then abandoning again. I guess that, and she was, at the same time, my aunt was in the age where she could have started to build up her own family and have her own children. I guess that probably she was so disappointed, so shocked, so traumatized, no, by the man behavior in general. And also she saw this little creature, her little sister, coming to the world, like unprotected. And I think she thought probably that she didn't want to have her own family. She renounces to that in order to be there for the rest of her life and protect her little sister. And then, you know, I think that, of course, the truth is a different one. They are not mother and daughter. But the way they live during all their life is as if they would be mother and daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the reality in the end is more important than the real parental bonds.
Yes. Actually, knowing what you know in the end, it would be amazing. I'd like to go back and watch the movie again, because a big theme during the movie is that Terry really doesn't want Ornella to be dating. Like, she really does not have a good opinion of what men are in a relationship, probably due to what she witnessed as a very young woman and as a child. But she just, like, won't leave Ornella alone about it. And in the movie, you're like, let Ornella have a life, like, let her date some guy. But then in the end, knowing what you know, it makes a lot of sense that she's trying to protect her from that.
Yeah, I agree with that. No, I think here we have two different layers. No, by one hand, we have the way, and we can see this art during all the film. No, by one hand, we have the way Teresa lived all her life. I mean, in the beginning, we see her like a bizarre old woman that says quite clearly that she remained young because she loved a lot during her life, and she never wanted anything serious because she just wanted to have fun. But then slowly we understand that her life wasn't so fun. It wasn't so funny. She decided to do this because she didn't trust any man.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, she doesn't want, and she never wanted, Ornella to have her own life, her own bond or relationship, you know? And I must say, this is something that you don't see in the film, but I must say, from what I've been told and from what I've seen as well when I was a child, no, that Teresa made the life impossible to my father because she was really a pain in the ass.
So Teresa really wanted Ornella just for herself.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But, and you know, I think that, of course, by one hand, it was because Teresa devoted her life to Ornella, and so she didn't want her to leave and make her own life.
Mm-hmm.
It's some kind of, you know, overprotection that maybe cross into egoism, no?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, she never wanted Ornella to have her own relationship because, in her opinion, men are bad, were bad. So she didn't want Ornella to be hurted by these men that are necessarily bad.
There are so many themes in the movie, like the theme of loss of memory, the theme of protecting people, the theme of keeping the secret. And then there's also the theme of aging. Because Teresa, you see some video in the beginning and some pictures, she's a very, very, very beautiful woman. And now, close to 90, you get this feeling that she senses that it's fading or it's faded. And this is very hard for her.
Yeah, I think that for her, it has been extremely hard to accept her aging. In fact, I would say that she never accepted that. The only moment where she started to accept the passing of time and her body and person becoming old had been after the revelation.
Mm-hmm.
After the revelation, suddenly, in the following 3-4 months, she really changed a lot. I mean, physically, she changed a lot. And I guess because probably she accepted that she fulfilled her mission, revealing this secret, and then she could accept. I mean, she revealed the secret and she hasn't lost Ornella.
Mm-hmm.
So she accepted that she could age. But then, going back to the acceptance or not of aging, you know, I mean, we are not so old, so it's difficult for us to say we would act the same way or not. What I've learned through my aunt, Teresa, is that I think is this acceptance or not of aging is something that you can judge and understand only when you are there. Because, you know, I think that when you have still most part of your life in front, you think that you don't think about what you cannot do anymore. You don't think about the obstacles that you have in front daily.
Where are Ornella and Teresa now?
Ornella and Teresa are still in the town, in Rovereto. And I would say that they live pretty much in a similar way as you can see in the film.
Mm-hmm.
They keep on loving each other and fighting daily, one with another, as you see in the film, no? Mm-hmm. I think now Teresa is a bit older. She's turning 90 this month.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, now the process of losing, of the loss of her memory is going every day faster.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think that they, you know, now they live with a different sense of their relationship. I think that now they don't need anymore to wear the mask, let's say, they've been wearing during all their life, no? Mm-hmm. Like Teresa pretending, like not pretending, but maybe spending her energy to try to hide something. And Ornella spending her energy trying to not digging into herself in order to not ask something. No? Mm-hmm. Now probably they are more, they know they can be more straight because they really know themselves, one another.
So do you think in the end revealing the secret was a good thing?
I think yes, definitely. I think yes. Because one of the things that strike me more when I show the film is that at the end of every screening, somebody, one or two or maybe three people, they come to me, you know, and they say, you know, I have a secret in my family as well. And some of them say, I would have loved to have done this before it was too late, but mm-hmm. now I cannot talk anymore because maybe they say my mother is dead, no? Or some other, yesterday, I remember a woman came to me and she said, thanks a lot. Now I realize that what I have to do, and this evening I'm going to call my brother.
Wow.
You know, for me, this is something that really moves me a lot. And this is something that I really hope the film gives to the people. Like, I hope the film makes the people think about their own relationship and try to act in a different way. Because when you dig into a secret, a family secret, that let's say that the family is where most of the secrets are. When you dig into it, discovering the truth can be extremely painful. I'm not saying that in general, in absolute, is a soft process. But at the same time, I think that the truth cannot change all what you have given and received during all your life. Therefore, even if the truth is painful, but in the life of this family, these people have given and received a lot of love among them, to them, that is not changed by this truth. And that will prevail against the truth. And, you know, I guess that knowing the truth about where you come from and who you are is really important to define you as a person, as a human being, and also to help you understand who you are and where you are going.
It's really just beautiful the way that it all resolves in the movie. And we were talking before we started talking about the movie about showing documentaries. And I was wondering how it was for you coming from Italy to Missouri, which is in the middle of the United States. What were you expecting and what did you know about True False before you came here?
Well, before coming here, I already knew True False because in Europe, we know True False Film Festival as a great film festival. Actually, for a European filmmaker to have the film selected and screened here is really an honor. And I'm not joking. But at the same time, I must say, you know, that before coming here, I was thinking with my Italian way of thinking. No? So when I saw this, for instance, when I saw the time of the screening and I saw that I had a screening that it was yesterday, no, at 9:30 in the morning, I remember thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be alone in the cinema. I'm going to be alone and maybe, you know, like the person, the moderator of the Q&A, you know, probably there won't be anybody because in Italy, it's very difficult to have a public, to have an audience for documentary. And if you screen a documentary at 9:30 in the morning, you are going to be alone. And then I was a bit scared. But then I arrived here and I saw how beautiful is the atmosphere of the festival and how the community and the people is involved in the film festival. And yesterday, actually, I mean, all my screening up to this moment have been sold out. And even the one at 9:30 in the morning was completely sold out. And I really couldn't believe that.
to make a movie is time-consuming and expensive. How is it to try to get funding for documentary making in Italy?
That is really hard, almost impossible, I would say. No, I've been working alone on this project for the first 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then once I filmed the most part of the film and I've started editing by myself, few scenes, some sample of scenes and a teaser, a trailer. Then I started to pitching it around in Europe. And I was quite lucky, and I think the project was well accepted because I won a pitching at the Saloniki Documentary Festival, and that raised attention around the project. Mm-hmm. And then slowly I was able to contact with other people, and then I had some finance from the Trentino Film Commission, that is the film commission of my region. Mm-hmm. Then I met a Belgian producer that fell in love with the project, and she decided to co-produce the film, and she stepped in with the Belgian Film Institute fund. And then, you know, then at that point we were able to work with, to hire an editor that started to work on editing properly the film. And then, and this is very curious for this kind of film, no? Then the Doha Film Institute from Qatar invited me to apply for their funds, and they loved the film, and they decided to step in and co-produce as well by their own the film, and found the film with their funds. And then I would say that thanks to this, thanks to all these partners, we have been able to finish the film, even if none of us have been paid €1 or $1.
Is there anything else we should know?
And maybe if I can add something, is a little funny thing that I was thinking during these days, that, you know, many times as a documentary filmmaker, an Italian documentary filmmaker, like you get a little bit frustrated, no? Because you don't see that all your efforts and work are recognized. I'm not saying that my film is so marvelous that people should admire me. I'm not saying that. But, you know, but sometimes you have the feeling that when they screen your film, they're making you a favor. Mm-hmm. And that is a bit frustrating. And these days, what I'm thinking is that coming here to True Falls is the perfect therapy for a filmmaker's ego, because you feel really well and really appreciated by the people that I know. I will come back to Italy, you know, and I will be like, my level of happiness will be bigger than ever.
That was Manu Gerosa, who directed Between Sisters. Manu says that people who want to follow the movie and see it in the future can follow the Between Sisters Facebook page. Thank you for spending your time with us here at Intersection, conversations in our community. I want to thank our producers, Katie Eisterhold, Carlo Canta, and Amanda Beiler. And of course, thank you to our guest, Manu Gerosa. Tune in next week to hear from the director of the film, Michael Shannon, Michael Shannon John. Our music is Montana Skies. I'm Sarah Shariari for Intersection, here at KBIA 91.3 FM.